Very good morning to one and all. Indeed, it is a blessed Sunday to be found in the house of the Lord. Today's message is, what is faith? And it's taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, which Deacon Timotheus has read for us. Let me begin with a story from nature. And there's this African impala, some sort of a deer, as you can see from the screen, the picture. And it can leap 3 meters high and cover 9 meters in a single bound. But would you believe that in a zoo, all it takes to keep one enclosed is a 1 meter wall? Why? Because the impala won't jump where it cannot see the landing zone. So even with all its power and strength and agility, it remains trapped, not by the walls, but by its lack of sight, not knowing where it will land. So isn't that a picture of many of us today, faced with fear and uncertainty? We rely only on what we can see, rather than trusting in what God has promised for us. So much like the early Jewish believers, some were trapped by what they couldn't see. They were under pressure, being persecuted, rejected, cut off from their religious communities. Some were excommunicated because of their profession of faith in Jesus, and excommunicated from the synagogues. And in their fear, these Jewish believers were tempted to go back to the old covenant, back to their riches, back to the familiar. Why? Because the future in Christ seemed uncertain. Like the impala, they couldn't see the landing zone. So the writer of Hebrews calls believers to live by faith. And last Sunday, Brother Mok has preached that we are to hold fast the confidence that God has given us. And the Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, quoting Habakkuk, the prophet, that the just shall live by faith. And this faith is not the saving faith, but the persevering faith. So even in difficult circumstances, because faith sees beyond the visible to the invisible realities of God's promises, God will help us to be steadfast in our walk with Him, help us to keep on believing in Him. So our first lesson for today's sermon is faith is assurance in Christ. Faith is assurance in Christ. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this verse tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance is not just things that are tangible, but the full meaning of that Greek word underlying this word substance means that deep-seated assurance and that confidence. The word confidence is translated for this word substance in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. If you to check for yourself, if you turn to Hebrews 3, verse 14, it talks about confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also called the foundation of reality. It means foundation of reality. Why so? Because one of the verses of this Old Testament, Psalm 69, verse 2, a Davidic psalm, David talks about he sinking in a miry clay, and he longed for a standing. If you were to read 69, verse 2 of Psalm, he longed for this standing, and the Greek translation of this Old Testament, this word for standing means It's the same Greek word as substance. So it means the foundation. So this word substance can mean foundation. And it's also called the title deed. Some modern translation translated the word substance as the title deed of things hoped for. Why the word title deed? How did they arrive to this word title deed? Because in the ancient Greek, they used the same word for title deeds in the legal context of getting a house. So isn't it wonderful that it is a title deed, this word substance? So to elaborate, imagine someone gives you a house. You haven't seen the house yet, but you are holding the title deed in your hand. That document proves that the house belongs to you. You will surely believe it, not because you have already seen the house being constructed or you have walked into the house surveying the wonderful rooms that you are going to stay in, but because of the legal document, the title deed, this legal assurance in your hand that the house is yours. So it is the present, even it is the future. So that is faith. So that's what the Hebrew writer says. Now faith is the substance, the title deed of things hoped for, that deep settled assurance that is hoped for in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrew carries this thought further that and say that it's the evidence of things not seen. So the word evidence means a firm conviction. A firm conviction that what God has promised, things that are not seen, will be in the present, that is in the present tense. So the things that are not seen are the blessings of His sovereign love, His care for us, His promises, and eternal life that we are going to have. Death is not going to defeat us. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 1,000 years we are going to reign with Christ, the millennium, the new heavens and the new earth, when the fire burns up this whole earth, we are not going to be burnt up, but we will be living in the new heavens and new earth, and there's this new Jerusalem. And all these are future, unseen with our naked eye. But that is what God has already promised. It's already ours. That's our title deed. The legal document that's in our hands, the great assurance. So as Paul exhorted the church in Corinth, he told them, we walk by faith, not by sight. And Paul had an opportunity to go to the third heaven, and that is heaven where God is. And that gave him that great assurance of heaven is real. And therefore, whatever afflictions he has gone through, he says that it's nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, we read that. Or it's recorded for us. So for us, people, whether you are young or old, your degrees, your jobs, your plans for the future, they are of course legitimately good, but they are not your foundation. They are not things that you place your assurance in because they are temporal, earthly things. And for us who are older, the seniors, it may be your experiences, your wisdom, your years of life living on this pilgrim way, wonderful as they are, they cannot carry you through what only faith can. So faith is believing, having that assurance in Christ. It's not a feeling or wishful thinking. So putting our faith in this living, true, Almighty God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, will give us that unshakable assurance in the unseen promises of God. And if you to remember in the Gospels, Thomas was told by his friends that the Lord appeared to them after his resurrection. And he didn't believe. He said that unless I touch or see his wounded side, his near pierced hands, I would believe. And later on, Jesus did appear in his post-resurrection to Thomas, his disciple. And Thomas didn't touch, but could only say, "My Lord and my God," and worship him. So Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." So how wonderful this verse is to know that we are blessed because we are blessed because we have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but we believe. Sometimes we think that we are not blessed by God. We tell our loved ones, our spouse, and say, "I don't think I'm blessed by God." It's not true. Every one of us is blessed when we believe in Jesus whom we have not seen. Because that's what Jesus says. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit indwells in us. We are under the shadow of his wings, as we have read Psalm 91. How God will deliver us, God will honor us, God will keep us and care for us. And therefore, God is always present with his children. So I sometimes have requests from people that are asking me to go and bless their new homes. And they are afraid that something bad will happen to their homes if the pastor did not come and bless their home. So it is a very superstitious belief, because we must remember, though God is unseen, God is always with us. So you don't have to have the pastor to go and bless your home. And some people want the pastor to bless them, bless their home with holy water. So some churches have holy water at the front of their place, their church entrance, and they would ask the members to bring back few bottles home to bless their homes, to sprinkle on themselves, sprinkle on their furniture, sprinkle on their books. Those are taking PSLE, sprinkle on it, you know, on their subjects, sprinkle on their head, right? And some will even follow the superstitious belief that you can roll two pineapples before you step into your new home, right? We don't need all these superstitious beliefs, because the Bible says that God is with us and indwells in us. So there is a wonderful assurance that we have. And where you are now, God is present with you. When you step out into the outside of this place, God is still with you. When you are in school, in the army, or in your workplace, or with your lunch khakis, kopi khakis, God is still with you. And so that is how wonderful this God is to us. So remember, faith is not a feeling or wishful thinking, but an unshakable assurance in the unseen promises of God and presence of God. So I have mentioned about faith is assurance in Christ. The next lesson we learn from verse 2 is faith gains approval from God. And here it says, "For by it the elders obtain a good report." So the elders is not the office bearers that we have in church, not the Presbyterian form of government, the elders. The elders refer to the ancients, the Hebrew patriarchs, which the writer would mention shortly from verse 4 of chapter 11 onwards. And we know that these elders, like us, were not perfect. They had all the flaws, all the warts. They stumbled in their faith. But one thing that they have in common, and that united them, was their faith in God and their faithfulness and commitment to God. So they believed in God. And so the phrase here, obtain a good report, is something that resonates with us as Singaporeans. Very kiasu. All right, we want good report from our children. How much you score for your test? What's your score? The first thing we ask is our children's grades. And we want a good report from them at the end of their midterm exam or year-end exam. What's your score? What's your position in class? How the others do? Did they do worse than you? To find some consolation, right? So, good report. Obtain a good report. And for us working, it is KPI. KPI after KPI. How much sales do I bring in for the company? How much is the quota and so forth? But here, the writer of Hebrews is not talking about all these material things. He's talking about the approval from God. Their faith is approved by God. They gain God's approval because they have great faith in God and they were faithful. And therefore, the entire chapter 11 of Hebrews is dedicated to listing the stories of these elders, showing that faith is what pleases God, not our works or what we have done or appearances. So, think about Enoch, who walked so closely with God. His faith pleased God that he never experienced death. So we have not much info or data of Enoch, what he did, unlike Daniel, unlike Moses, and so forth. But we only learn that he walked with God. He walked closely with God. And his faith in God pleased him so much so that God rewarded him by translating him back to heaven without going through death. There you can see how God is pleased with faith. So think of Noah, who built the ark by faith. And it was a very mammoth task for him. And not only that, despite being ridiculed and mocked at because they have not never seen rain before, how could there be any rain water from the sky that drops? But he built by faith. He built the ark by faith, saving his family of 8, including him. Think of Abraham, who believed God and heeded his call to leave his hometown Ur, not knowing where he was going. So the writer's intention was to encourage the Jewish believers, not to display his wealth of his Bible history to the believers, but to encourage them with all this cloud of witnesses, to help them to have this faith that this God of these patriarchs is the same God that they believe and we believe. So the testimony of faith of these elders may, as we will be going through them soon, may they encourage us in our walk with God. So remember, these were not men and women who had all the answers to life, but they had faith. They were ordinary people who trusted the extraordinary God. You have heard this phrase before. And may be a reminder to you that we trust in this extraordinary God even though we are ordinary people. And because of their faith, they gain God's approval. Maybe today you are at the cross junction of your life. You are thinking of switching career, thinking of retiring, and do not know whether your funds can provide you through the retirement years, or thinking of doing something that you have never done before, and we must trust in the Lord. And of course, there are those who are unwell, in the bed of affliction. We do not know what will be the outcome of the surgery. Will it be totally removed, the tumor? The chemo and the radiotherapy helped me or helped my loved ones. Did I make a right decision to be admitted to the hospital? Now we don't need to burden ourselves with all these concerns and worries, but we lift up all these worries to God and anxieties to God, and by faith believe in Him that all things will work together for good. Even the mistakes that we make, God will overrule because He is sovereign. Whatever mistakes we make, He has already ordained it, and everything is under His control. So we don't have to fret, we don't have to worry. And remember, just now I prayed that God cares for the sparrow, and Jesus did say, if I care for the sparrows, which are common animals, creatures, how much value you are to me, made in my image, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, therefore, let us remember to have faith. If today you have very little faith, it's good, at least you have that little faith. May we pray that God will increase our faith, that we may please Him. So it's not about perfection, living a perfect life, a Christian life, but it's about trusting God. So if we want to gain God's approval, it's not much, not how much you can achieve, not things can be, things have to be done perfectly, or outcome will be perfect. No, it's how much you understand about who this God is. It's about believing in Him, His promises for you, walking with Him in trust. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 remind us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if you do not have faith, it's impossible to please Him. So don't doubt your relationship with God. Don't doubt your God, this God who is living and true, all-powerful. And today, if you are questioning God, if you are asking Him why this accident happened, why do you have to take my loved one away so suddenly? Why do you have to make me fail my test? Why I cannot pass this, overcome this obstacle? Why I cannot get that job after so many interviews? I've applied for so many, sent in so many CVs, but yet no one called me. Why you allow this economy to, the global economy to be so bad? Why you allow that kind of president to be president of that country? There are so many things, but if you keep on doubting God, it will not please Him. What should we do then? We go to God. We believe in His sovereign plan and will. And to know that He is, meaning that He is, means the great I am that I am. God is the self-existent one, the eternal one. All these problems we face are peanuts to Him. He will surely help us. And if we go to Him, what's the promise? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So here you can see the condition, diligently seek Him. So let us be like the importunate widow who persistently went to the judge who is not good, but she keep on pestering the judge until the judge gave her the address to see her and address her problems. So God wants us to be like that way, diligently seeking Him. So let us please God by asking God, God, I can't see the future, not even tomorrow, not even the next second or minute, but I trust in You. So may our approval comes from God, not from society, not from the likes in your social media platform, not from your friends. Your deepest desire is to hear one day from our Lord Jesus Christ that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So that's our hope. One day we appear before this perfect, holy, loving God. He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So God will never fear to reward our faith. So may we allow this cloud of witnesses be our encouragement and His word be an encouragement today. So I've spoken on these two lessons. Faith is assurance in Christ. Faith is gaining approval from God. The final lesson is faith is acceptance of God's truth. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So this verse shifts our focus to the creation of the world. In this case, the creation of the heavens and the earth. Why would the writer of Hebrews mention about creation? Why not just go straight to the ancients, the cloud of witnesses in the chapter 11? So the writer is reminding the believers that they already actually have the faith in God's creation. They have accepted the unseen through the natural revelation. Why not grow and exercise this faith in this most powerful, wise, and loving God? So the writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage them, exercise your faith. You have believed in a creation, exercise your faith, grow this faith. So we thank God that we believe that the world is created by God in 6 literal days. And we do not believe in evolution, a naturalistic theory, and it's just a theory and not proven. Who knows? Because we do not know the billions of years, 4 or 5 billions of years. And it is very far-fetched. But sadly, we are taught this evolution in our schools and so forth. But we thank God that Brother Singhu has written a book on creation. And he has given me a copy. And the chapters are short, though some parts are technical. But as you read, it will increase your faith in this God whom we believe. So we know that when God spoke the word into existence, He spoke the word, not by having to laboriously create the word, but He just spoke the word. And therefore, by faith, we believe that God created everything by His word, as we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, whereby Moses was inspired by this Holy Spirit to write the records of creation. And the phrase "framed by the word of God" refers to the perfect order and design of creation, as you can see from the screen above you. So God did not simply create in a random or chaotic way. He spoke everything into existence and it came to be, ex nihilo, out of nothing, a Latin word that says out of nothing. And as this verse says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's all by God's power and wisdom. And our body is a testimony of God's marvelous creation, not evolution. God did not use evolution to create us. And we can see ourselves how we are made so wonderfully. How our eyes are symmetrical, our ears are symmetrical, and our mouth is here, our nose is above. Just imagine if it's by evolution and so forth, I don't think it would be that symmetrical. maybe our mouth is on top on our forehead. Just imagine if we had to eat spaghetti, what happened? What will happen to our eyes? So if you look at our body system, it's made of systems, systematically made. We have the integumentary system, that is the nerves, the skin, the hair, and we have the immune system or the lymphatic system. We have the muscular system, the nervous system. We have the reproductive system. We have the respiratory system. We have the skeletal system, the urinary or the renal system. All these are done systematically in systems. How could there be an evolution for it to happen? It's done by an architect, a designer. And that divine designer is none other than living and true God. And so, look at our clothes. It's not that it's due to a hurricane going through cotton fields and suddenly our coat appear. It's not our clothes appear. It's not a Big Bang theory and so forth. So we, therefore, must drive home into our hearts that to have faith is to accept God's word as true. And if we don't accept God's word as true, as the rule of our faith, we will never have that faith that pleases God. So God's word is always true. When we read, we must believe that we are reading the word of God and God is speaking to us. That's why we encourage you, always read the Bible. Not because it's a ritual that you must do, otherwise lightning will strike you, but it's because you want God to speak to you. He's no more speaking to you in a dream or words that suddenly come up from heaven to you, but it's from God. So when we believe God's word is true, everything will change in our lives. We will see our spiritual muscles getting stronger. We'll see that we are able to look at things in God's perspective, God's view, rather than our own view. And when we see, when we go and queue for food, the char kway teow can be long queue, but we exercise patience. We won't be so impatient with the person cooking, and we won't be so impatient even with the cashier. Sometimes in supermarkets, I see impatient people queuing and they were like very frustrated. And sometimes they vent their anger on the cashier, especially when the customer in front forgot to weigh the vegetables. Then the cashier got to bring all the way to the weighing machine at the corner and it kind of delay. So you get very frustrated. You pull a black face. You don't even greet the cashier good morning or good afternoon. So sometimes we allow all this to happen in our lives. But when we read God's word and we learn that, oh, to be a Christian is to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and even faith, and even meekness, then we will strive to display all this fruit of the Spirit to others. So reading God's word helps us, nourish us spiritually, strengthen our spiritual muscles. It's a spiritual gym. Quiet time is a spiritual gym. So the Jewish believers, unfortunately, were forgetting all this. They were returning to the visible riches instead of trusting the invisible reality, and that is Christ himself. So the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 was actually encouraging them, don't shrink back from your faith. Don't throw away your confidence. Why? Because faith holds you steadfast, steady in the Lord. Faith enables you to accept truths that our senses cannot verify. It's all by faith, trusting in God, and God wants us to be faithful to Him. So the question is, what does faith or persevering faith in God looks like today? It is believing in Him even though things are not going our way. It is believing in Him that He is all-sufficient even when we feel that we are short change, or believing that He is our delight, especially when temptations come, sexual temptations come. We believe that committing that sexual sin is more pleasurable than believing in this God who is all sufficient, all delightful for us. So this is believing in the face of discontentment, in the face of temptations that we face. It's also praying and waiting even when the answer from the Lord hasn't come. It's praying and waiting upon the Lord, not going ahead of God. It's loving and forgiving when you have been hurt by someone in church. Is serving even when no one applauds you, no one praises you. We continue to serve because of this persevering faith. Is trusting even when life has many obstacles and setbacks. We know that we can believe. We keep on believing because, as the song hymn says, if there's not a fight, where's that victory? So we keep on fighting against our own discouragement, fighting against the evil one, putting on the spiritual armor, and continue to believe. So it's also believing when you feel like giving up, when you feel like throwing in the towel. Some people, because of setbacks in life, they threw in the towel. I don't want to believe in Jesus anymore. And we have teenage youths who say that to their parents. Mom, I'm not going to church anymore. Dad, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. What's the point of reading the Bible? What's the point of believing God? So there are people who have given up the faith. I pray that none of us here would give up on Christ, because He gave Himself for us. He loved us to give Himself for us. No one did that except the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. So faith in God's truth gives you that strength even when you feel feeble in the face of the anxieties, the trials and tribulations that you are going through. But with all this, remember the three lessons. Faith is the assurance of the things you hope for, even when the outcome is unseen. Faith is the key to God's approval, not because of your works, but because you trust in Him, trust in His grace. Faith helps us to accept God's truth, even when we don't wish to obey it, but we have to accept it and rest in His promises for the outcome, even when everything around us seems so uncertain. So I want to challenge you today, if you are feeling very feeble and weak in your faith, to continue to tell you to live by faith in God's word and His promises. Don't let fear or doubt trap you in the visible world that you can see. You may feel like you are standing in front of a 1 meter wall like the Impala. You know that you have the power, the agility, the nimbleness to leap. Don't let fear or anxiety stop you. Don't let what you can't see stop you from trusting in what God has already promised you. Leap in the light of Christ. Take the step of faith to believe in Him, knowing that God has already guaranteed your blessed future in Christ. So may the Lord encourage us with His word from Hebrews 11, chapter 1 to 3. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that Your word is always true, is the yardstick for our life, the moral compass for us to lead and guide us. Lord, You know that we are feeble creatures, and we plead that You will be merciful to us, gracious to us, We need just the least of your grace and mercy to help us through life and to have faith in you. Lord, forgive us of our unbelief. Help us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us and to save us from our sins, and to know that, and because we are of more value than anything, even the common birds like the sparrow. So we commit ourselves to you. Encourage us with your word always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.